Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
My name is Tim Barton, and I'm the lead pastor here at The Vine. Maybe some of you have had an experience kind of like this. Back when I was around 20, I think I was 22 years old, I was a pastoral intern at our church. And as a pastoral intern, you know, we say that what that means is we want you to grow in all sorts of experiences in ministry. We want to put you in positions where you're challenged and helped to grow in those things. And practically speaking, what that means is, we got a hole. Where's the pastoral intern? We need somebody to help in children's ministry or something like that. And that day when I walked into church, as I walked in, the children's director was right there, and she came up to me and she said, "Tim, our 4- and 5-year-old leader is not here today. The 4- and 5-year-old boys, could you step in and teach that group today?" And I said, "Sure, I can do that. No problem." I coached 4- and 5-year-olds in baseball and stuff. I was like, "No problem, I'll do that." And so I go and I jump into the classroom. The first thing we do is take the kids outside, and the idea was to get their energy out. Well, they had more energy than we had time outside. So we come back inside, and they're all ramped up, and we're going to do a song. And so we do this song. Well, I'm doing motions and stuff with it, trying to get them engaged, so they're even more amped up now. And then I say, "Okay, it's time to sit down and to do a lesson." And so they all sit down, I start to teach, and there are these two little boys that we'll say were having a hard day. I'm not sure it was really that hard from their perspective, but these two little boys sitting over here, and I said, "All right, boys, I'm going to need to separate you." So I said, I want you to come over here beside me on this side. I want you to come beside me on this side. One of the little boys was looking like he was getting ready to start to do it and comply, and the other one sat back in his chair, folded his arms, and said, "You're not my boss." The other one then, emboldened by his buddy's declaration, said, "Yeah, you're not my dad," and he sat back. Now, I tell you that story because is it not true that for many of us, when someone goes to tell us what to do, and I'm talking as adults now, or children, but when someone goes to tell us what to do, you ever have that feeling? You can't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. I would contend that human nature says, well, I want to be God. I want to be in control, so I can then be able to say to anyone, "You're not the boss of me. You're not in control of me." And here's the problem. We would never say that to Jesus. "You're not in control of me. You're not in charge of me." But sometimes in our lives, we live like, "Jesus, you're not in charge of me. You're not in control of me. I can kind of keep doing what I want to do." Paul, in our passage this morning, as we continue in our series in Romans, Paul says, we all are actually, and we'll really love this word, we all actually are slaves to one thing or another thing. We are all slaves to something. And he does this coming on the heels of what John looked at last week, chapter 6, verse 15. Paul had asked that question, shall we continue to sin because now we're under grace and not under law? Can we just do whatever we want to? And the beginning of Paul's answer was no, because you are now slaves to righteousness. And so now we come and he continues his answer to that. He's saying, no, you've been changed. You're different if you're a follower of Jesus. And so now we come to verses 19 through 23 of Romans chapter 6. And we're going to see in here today that Paul makes this argument. No, you're changed. You're different. And so what you need to do, 2 points this morning, remember who you were, and then remember who you are now. And that's what we're going to look at from this passage this morning. So look there with me. We'll read Romans chapter 6, picking up in verse 19. This is God's word. He says, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul here says, you're a slave to one thing or another, and you need to remember who you were. And then we'll come in a minute to remember who you are now. As we walk in this life, as we seek to live as followers of Jesus, first remember who you were. He says that they were slaves to impurity and lawlessness. Before the heart change, before becoming a follower of Jesus, we were slaves to impurity and to lawlessness. Look at verse 19 again. He says, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Now, I know that's not a complete sentence. We're going to come back to the second half of that verse in a minute. But now, right after Paul saying everyone's a slave to something, he then comes and uses slavery as an illustration. Right, now, that can be hard for us. Next week, we're going to see he uses marriage, the law of marriage as an illustration. But here, Paul, at the beginning of verse 19, is almost apologizing for using slavery as an illustration. But he's saying he's doing that, speaking in human terms, because of the natural limitations we have to understanding God. Now, a quick side note for us. God has to do that a lot. Like God has to condescend to us because we have finite minds. We live in this world that thinks that as long as we can know enough or learn enough or gain enough information, then we'll be fine. But God sometimes often has to put things in language that we can understand and use examples that we can understand because we do not have the mind of God. We don't know all things. All right, that was an aside. Let me keep going. Okay, so he's using this slavery as an illustration. We often think of slavery as bad, right? Because of the American institution of slavery, because of things we see around the world, we think bad. That's not what he's not even talking ultimately about slavery here. What he's using is an illustration to say, you do have a master. Which one is it? Okay, so I just want to make sure that's super clear as we keep going. And he's saying, depending on what we're slaves to, it could be a bad thing if we're slaves to sin. It could be a good thing if we're slaves to righteousness and slaves to God. And he's saying we're one or the other. We're either slaves to sin and the controlling power and nature of sin, or we're slaves to righteousness. And whichever that is has an impact on the way we live our lives. We said a couple weeks ago that followers of Jesus don't remain the same. We change. By his grace for us and working through us, we change. And so Paul's practically saying, followers of Jesus, you've changed, but remember who you were. You know who you were? You were those. By the way, this is everybody in this room. You were those who presented your members, your bodies, all your faculties, mentally, all the things you presented as slaves to impurity and lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. The word used here for presented is you acted out of, you used your body, all these things, your mind, all these things, and everything you did, you acted out of, you did it as a slave of sin. You used them for lawlessness, for impurity. And let me be real clear here, because where do our minds go when we say that? If we grew up in the church and we think of ourselves as pretty moral people, our minds go to the really bad things, right? We go to, well, kind of like the Gentiles in the Roman culture there, in the Roman, in the church in Rome there, that it was the immoral stuff, all the stuff that looked awful that you can think about, all the stuff that on the outward side we'd look at that and go, that's bad? All right, that's real bad? They were doing that. And Paul's calling that out. But Paul's also calling out what I would call morally good sin. And what I mean by that is he's calling out all the things that were being done by the religious works and the different things that were being done without faith in Jesus. Because those were just as bad. Because those were being trusted in rather than trusting in Jesus. Didn't make for as bad of a society, but they were just as bad. You know, when we talk about acting out as slaves to sin, as slaves to lawlessness, he says there that it always leads to more lawlessness. Now, simple example. I used this example years ago with some of you kids who are now teenagers, or maybe you're all already graduated, but close. Down in the children's area, I used this illustration, and it's that when I was probably 7, 8 years old, I was getting ready for bed, and my dad said, "Did you brush your teeth?" "Yes, I brushed my teeth." I didn't actually brush my teeth. But I said, "Yes, I brushed my teeth." My dad said, "Well, son, why is your toothbrush not wet?" "Well, I don't know why my toothbrush, I guess it dried really quick." "Son, did you brush your teeth?" "Well, I must have used my sister's toothbrush." "Son, your sister's toothbrush isn't wet either. Did you brush your teeth?" My dad was actually very gracious in this and giving me every chance, and I kept lying. It got bigger, right? That's a silly example, but that's lawlessness. And when we start there, what happens? It grows, and it always grows. That's what Paul said here. And we're like, well, I'm not a slave, I'm free. And Paul is saying here, he anticipates that in verse 20, that he says, yeah, we were free in this direction. Look at verse 20. It says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." We want to be free to do what we want to do. We talk about that all the time. That's at the nature of the original sin. It's at the nature of our sin. And Paul's telling them, you were. You remember who you were? You were free to do what you wanted to do, and you were a slave to sin, and that's what you wanted to do. They didn't have to worry about righteousness. With a singular, undivided focus, they could serve themselves in what they deemed to be right. But now pause on that for a minute. Who decides what's right? In the context, without God in the equation, without God's word in the equation, who decides what's right? Let me give you a couple examples from our culture today. These things are like emboldenedly said as if they are correct, but listen to them. You may think right is what the majority of people say. Now, I don't know about you, but I've watched some majority of people make some statements. That certainly isn't right. You may think that it's right to have a promiscuous lifestyle with no strings attached. That is declared to be right and good for people in certain settings. Is that right? You may think that right is climbing your way to the top with shady or questionable business ethics. You may think right is doing what you want so long as you deem it's not hurting anyone else. You may think right is doing what makes you feel good or even living with the attitude that the ends justifies the means. But Paul's calling them to pause, and he's calling us to pause and reflect for a minute. Remember what that meant in their lives. He's saying, yes, you were free in that direction, but how was that working out for you? How was that actually working out for you? He challenges them even further in verse 21. And I just use this phrase, think about it a minute. Paul's going, verse 21, "What fruit were you getting at the time from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." So what fruit were you getting from it when you were living that way? Thinking about who you were, what fruit were you getting from those things? Those things that you're now ashamed of, if you think back and go, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I was doing that. What fruit did you see in your life from those things? The reality is, they gave you nothing lasting. Nothing lasting. For the immoral, they led to rotten fruit. For the moral, they led to temporary fake fruit that doesn't last. Now, when I was in college, I had a food container that I kept under my bed in my dorm room, and I had put some apples in there. And one day I decided, I looked in there and it was a clear container. I could see some apples in there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to grab an apple. Walked over, lifted the lid, reached under there, grabbed an apple. And when I grabbed an apple, it was mushy, very real mushy. And as I pulled it out, it was covered in ants. I'm still not sure how the ants got inside the container, but I pulled it out. It's covered in ants. It's mushy. It's nasty. It was rotten fruit. There wasn't a thing about that fruit that would help me. That was good for me, right? For the immoral, it was rotten fruit. For the moral, though, it was fake fruit. Every time I think about this, I think about the wax grapes sitting on the middle of a table, and many of us have seen a child go up and grab a wax grape and try to take a bite of that wax grape. Some of you were nice and you shopped your kids before they did it. I figured they wouldn't do it again if they did. Take a bite of that wax fruit. Was it good for them? No. Did it taste good? Was there any nutrition in it? No. It looked great. It looked real. But it was not helpful for them. In fact, if they ate enough of it, it'd be pretty bad for them long term. Right? And so here, Paul said, think about the fruit. It was either rotten, clearly, visibly, or it was fake and not helpful for you. Now, you may already, you can think back in that. You may be able to think back because you're a follower of Jesus now. You can think back and you can see that. If you've grown up in the church, you probably have both those things. You may have a little bit more of realizing that, well, before I was a follower of Jesus, it was fake fruit. But Paul says all of it leads to death. Being a slave to sin, obeying the passion sin points us to, or setting other things as more important in our lives than honoring, following, and obeying God and worshiping Him, in the long term, those things lead to ultimate death. They also lead to what feels like death on this earth. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you may not be at a point of seeing your own rotten or fake fruit. And I would ask you, if you're in here today and that's where you are, that you would ask Him to show it to you. If you're willing to do that, I'd ask you to ask Him to show it to you this morning. But if you're looking, if you're here today and you're looking for hope in your career, in your family, in your children's success, in your team's success, in your next vacation, your next degree, your next promotion, you're going to find a sort of death in this life because they're not going to fulfill you. They're not really ultimately going to do anything for you because in and of themselves, even those good things are empty. Let me address one more thing here. If you're a follower of Jesus and you choose to live regularly as a slave to sin, instead of living as a slave to righteousness, this is going to sound harsh to some of you, but at worst, you need to consider if you're possibly still a slave to sin. And at best, I plead with you to remember that when you choose to go back, when I choose to go back to who I was, living as if I was a slave to sin, when we do that, we are missing the beauty of the grace that has been given to us. Because of the grace of God through the work of Jesus, we've been set free. set free from eternal, lasting death and set free from a death of sorts in this life. Set free from a life with no meaning, a life with little hope. But when we choose to live as slaves to sin, acting like grace is just there simply to cover up our messes, we're failing to apply the grace of Jesus to our hearts. And so Paul says, remember who you were. Remember it. Remember you were a slave to sin, and that was getting you nowhere. And he said, But now remember that you are no longer a slave to sin. You've been set free from that bondage. And Paul continues with that in his second point. Remember who you are now. You are slaves to righteousness. Look back to the second part of verse 19 now. He says, you're slaves to righteousness. So now, present your members, your bodies, everything about your minds, all those things, present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. And he said, so now you have a new identity. You've been changed. You have a new identity. You're different than you were. If you remember this throughout chapter 6, he's been talking about this. We've used different words, different phrases, with union with him, all these different things. And he's saying that by the work of Jesus, through his perfect life, through his death on the cross to pay the penalty for sins, through his resurrection to defeat the power of sin in our lives and to strengthen us to live to him, through all of that, we've been united to Jesus. We've died to sin. We're no longer a slave to it. And we've been raised with Christ, so we are continuing to grow and to change. And so he's saying, now, present yourself, your members, act out of who you are now. And out of who you are now, serve righteousness. So this means that we are to present our bodies, all those things we keep talking about, in accordance with what the Bible says is true of us. In accordance to what he says, how he says we're called to be living out our lives as followers of Jesus. And notice here, that wasn't a suggestion in verse 19. It wasn't like, if you think you might feel like doing that. He says, no, this is what's good for you. It's what the loving God, the one who has saved us through his Son, our Father, who knows what is best for us, is what he calls us to. You know, you may remember from a couple weeks ago, back in who we were before, we were unable to not sin. Now we are able to not sin in who we are now. And so every moment, we are to be controlled not by others' behavior toward us, somebody in your family's expectation of you, that you just got to keep doing better and 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 better. We're not to be controlled by our feelings or by our appearance. I'm not saying we don't have feelings. We're not to be controlled by those things. We're not to be controlled by others' unbiblical expectations of us. That list goes on and on, but the point is, we're not slaves to those things. That's not who we are now. We are to be controlled by the reality of who we are through what Jesus has done for us, through the good news, through the gospel that says if you were a follower of Jesus, you were a son of God, you were a daughter of God who is deeply loved, who has been adopted, who has been called his own. And so we're to present our members, we're to act in accordance to that truth. That's what it means to be a slave to righteousness. Now, let me make that practical. That means that in everything we do, we see it through this lens of who we are now. We are sons and daughters of God who are deeply loved in Jesus, who have been united to him, who have been given the power to walk with him. We're no longer slaves to sin, we're slaves to righteousness. And so, if I go back to when I was in high school, if every moment of my life is to be governed by who I am in Jesus, every moment is to be governed by that. It's not, by the way, because I'm still wrestling with things in my life too, just like you are. None of you can look at me and say that's actually true, that every single moment you're doing this, and yet it's who we are. It's what we want to grow in. And so now, this example, I'm in high school. I cut grass a lot in high school, and so I was back behind this big factory, and there was a hillside with a really high grass, and my boss had told me to go back there and weed eat. The manager had come out and asked if we could do that. My boss said, hey, will you take care of that? I said, sure, I'll take care of that. My boss never came around the back of the building. I knew the manager of the building never came around the back of the building, and I knew we were in a hurry. And so I go to the back of the building. I see the grass. I weed eat for just a second. And then I thought, I turn and I start to walk away. I'm like, nobody will ever notice that. Now, again, that's a silly example. But what's wrong with that? I'd given my word that I would go do that. I'd said yes. What does the Bible say? Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. I'd said yes. I go back there. I look at it. I think, I don't really want to do that. And so I turn to walk away. We are faced with things, moments, every day in our lives. I used examples earlier. I won't go through them again. But every day, every moments of the day, will we pause and say, am I acting in consistency with being a son or a daughter of God, living in the way that he says by his word is good for me? The one who loves me, who knows what's best for me, who saved me from that slavery to sin, do I want to follow that? Because it's good. That's hard to do. When we don't, please remember what we've already talked about, that we repent of that and we run to Jesus. And Jesus always receives us as we repent and we run to him. But how do we do this? How do we walk in this every day? We need each other in that. Do you know that there are things in my life that I don't see well on my own? My wife sometimes sees them, and she does help me with that, and I don't mean that sarcastically. She actually does. She sees them, and she might say, she knows me better than anyone. Now, it may hurt to hear it, but she can say something because she loves me, because she wants what's best for me, and she will say it, and I can hear it. But this is what discipleship is all about. In discipleship, it's not just gaining knowledge in our heads. It's being in a relationship with someone older than you or more mature in the faith than you, who as you walk with them, they get to know you well enough. There grows a trust there that as you walk through God's word together, as you see things in your life together, they can look at you and say, hey, I think this is a blind spot. Hey, I think you're not living in consistency to who you are in Jesus. Y'all, that flies in the face of our culture. That says, put a mask on. Throw a social media filter on it. But we need it. We need it desperately. And then together that we look to Jesus. We need help to follow him. If you want to hear more on discipleship unpacked in a much deeper way, Garrison Young, one of our elders, preached on December 29th. And you can go back and listen to that. He did a great job with that. But just in that summary, every one of us needs others walking with us in this way. And then he says, finally, Paul says that we are set free as slaves to God. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and to its end, eternal life. Now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, we will want to grow in doing what he says is good. We want to grow in that. And as that happens, we continue to receive and grow in the fruits of the Spirit. You remember those things? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I missed one. I know self-control, got self-control anyway. We can go look those up later. I just went brain dead. We want to grow in those things. As we do so, it's good for us. Think about those words again. I just found them written on my page. Think about those words again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you grow in that, is that going to be good for your marriage? Is that going to be good for your children? Children, if you grow in that, will that be good for your parents? I'll tell you, yes. Those who are not married, will that be good for the people around you? Absolutely. And the list can go on and on. But the point is this. As we do it, it is good for us. It is good for the advancement of the kingdom in the hearts and lives of God's people. As we live as set free as slaves to God, living in who we are now, we are then making God known to the world around us. We're giving people a glimpse of the beautiful culmination of eternal life, a glimpse of the things that are being made new, are going to be made new in the new heavens and the new earth. And as we do all of that, God is taking that. He's continuing to grow and change us to live that way in everything we face every single day. And he's faithful to it. And then he ends by saying, Paul just summarizes all of this and says that it's a gift of God. This is a verse we all know really well. If we live, well, maybe not all, but most of us know this pretty well. If we live as we were, verse 23 says, what we deserve to that, for that, the wages of that is death. But he culminates all of it saying, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of God is who we are now. So if you're here today, and again, as I mentioned earlier, if you're not a follower of Jesus, we don't want the wages of sin for you. We want you to know, to trust, to believe that God really can love you in this way. That God really can give you this free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so if you want to talk about that more today, I'd love to do so with you after the service. I'm out in the welcome area. For those of us who are believers, as we prepare for the Lord's table, I want to ask you to pause and to say, Lord, where in my life am I living, going back to living as that slave to sin? Where in my life am I living as who I was, not who I am now?
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.